There's something the Lord wants to say to us to prepare us for more. And it's amazing that God has prepared our heart with this atmosphere for this. I want to just go straight. Let's open to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Thank you, worship team, for yielding to the Spirit of the Lord. We just continue to yield. It's not done with us. Acts chapter 2. Before we begin to read the scripture, what I'm about to share with you, I've not shared it before, but it was an experience. The Lord is preparing us for something big. The body of Christ as a whole. And bear with me if I lose my voice. I've been screaming a lot. So I'm getting my voice back. I went to a conference. And in this conference, there are leaders and lots of ministries, mostly leaders of ministries all over. And we went, a group of us went to a prayer place, a room separate for that particular ministry. So leaders from different parts of the world. And then this group were mostly very gifted. And a brother stood up. When he stood up, he is the brother. If you find time, you can go to permission for what I'm about to share. If you find time, you can go and research the transformation video. Transformation video one about the transformation that took place in Cali, Colombia. In Cali, Colombia, it's known for drug lords running literally the country. They didn't know what to do. And God led a movement that transformed the nation. And the drug lords were captured and things that are happening. Amen. Amen. So he stood up and he shared what happened. And some of these things I'm about to share with you, he talked about. But what happened is, after he finished sharing, he said, "Is anybody here that can come out and openly accept, confess all these, so many leaders. I was very embarrassed. And the Lord spoke something to me. I got up, I went, and openly before these people, repented, confessed, did the things God put in my heart. And as I got up, another brother came and joined me. After a while, another brother came, three of us. And after we finished, there was a conviction in that room. Another lady came and joined us. After that, what happened? These are people that were like looking at these great men of God, these leaders that came. And some of them were like, ah. So he has all this, he confessed all these things. So it's like they were looking at you funny. And I was laughing. Because inside, God has done something. So I want to share briefly what hinders us from sometimes experiencing real miracles. And not just us, but what limits us from a corporate impartation, miraculous visitations of God that impacts a city. But we're not talking about a city now. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about us. What can we do? What steps can we take to give God more room to invade us corporately and begin to do what he's promising we do? So, I will just use to make it fast, I'll let Abby help me. I'll just use the slide. And I want to explain some things to you. So the first thing is, open to the secret of the revival in Jerusalem. The secret, you can look at it. The secret to the revival in Jerusalem is Acts chapter 2. You see from 1 and 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, King James says, they were all with one accord in one place. So if you look at that slide, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. So when we come together, how does God meet us? How does God invade us and do something that everybody can experience him? So it says they were all together in one place. And suddenly, God always does suddenly. Some of you didn't expect this. From heaven, there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. Everybody had an encounter. Nobody left church without being touched. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And when this was, when this sound occurred, it made other people come in. So, two major things is what you see there, the word one accord, unanimous. Together but united. You see, we can be together, but our hearts are not together. We can be together, but our minds are not together. We can be together, but our agendas are different. So what happened? For God to come suddenly, we have to create, we are the ones that have to create an atmosphere of one accord. And anytime there's a one accord, like you see this morning, The Bible says, Psalms 133, God will release something in that togetherness. When brethren dwell together in unity, suddenly God will move, everybody will benefit, will be impacted, and everybody will experience God. And the testimony of you, everybody experiencing God out there, will make other people say, God is doing something. So the power of unity, not conformity, is a magnet for God to move. Then, to be united, to have the same mind, one accord, together, we can be together in one place. There has to be a purpose. Jesus told them, go and wait for the promise of the Father. So they were all united towards one prayer point. They had one mind, what God told them. They were together in that place, going through for the many days they were there, going through the challenges of the differences. The challenges of the differences. What creates, what provokes, you know, when you have 120 people, maybe the rest have gone, and they are all together in one place, the tendency is, wow, you begin to find out how this person acts after a day, how this person thinks after a day, how this person talks. Things begins to manifest. Offenses begins to come. Different things begins to happen that will cause division. But God allowed them to stay there. Who knows? 500 people heard him. Maybe 120 survived. The rest could not. So, but it says they, on the 50th day, after they've gone through this process for a while, they were replacing people, they're putting people. After a while, it says on Pentecost, they suddenly, there was a place of unity. They arrived that released the power of God. It took them 50 days of just being there and trying to figure it out. Emotions, mindsets, culture, attitudes, behaviors. So, before we continue, you know, if you read the Corinthian church and read, we love the gifts. But when we live with all these gifts, we have problems at home. Our children, our wives, our husbands, and this and that and that. There's a tendency that we magnify the gifts more than the character that God is looking for. We live in a generation where the world is so devastated and people are so broken and so hurting and so wounded that every time you study the statistics, they are now saying that very afraid, say men don't want to marry anymore. I guess not the whole reason. There's a possibility that what they saw with their mother and their father. Women wants to just some be single. Except they're afraid. Some they want to marry, but they're afraid. So there are so many factors. But today we want to look at how God can use us, but each of us coming through the cross to a place where when we come together, there's this unity that God can increase what he wants to do in our midst. And also, we don't want to be the church where all they know is the physical miracles, but our hearts are so divided. The greatest ministry before Jesus came, Jesus said, no man born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. And the Bible says he did not do one miracle. But the emphasis is physical miracle. See, we call this place Miracle Center, and people have a mindset. John the Baptist did so many miracles, but it was a heart miracle. He prepared men's heart to receive the miracle that Jesus came to give. What God came to do is to change hearts. To turn stony hearts to a heart of flesh. So let's look at a few things. And what is this that is in us that will make God say, you know what? You have to be born again. If who we used to be from Adam was okay, we don't need to be born again. The reason we're born again is because there's something that has been corrupted that just cannot host God. So we have to be born again to have a new nature that is in alignment with the nature of God, with the plans of God, the purpose of God, agenda of God. How can 120 people be united? Just like the Tower of Babel. But this was over the Spirit. So let's look at, really quickly, one of the major sources of problems in our homes. In our marriages. In our relationship with our children. Families. See, the Lord dealt with me. I was praying. I couldn't leave yesterday. He says, what people are crying for, it's not so much, it's they want to be healed. They're carrying a lot. And what I'm about to share with you, I went through it. That's why I'm sharing with you. He did something to me. And I pray. If you don't mind, look at the person next to you, says, what he's about to share is not, it's about him. So don't get offended. Amen? Say caution. Amen. Another thing is, I need to say this. A few years ago when we were renting the TLR property, the Lord gave me a similar message like this. And it was about going deeper. But there were rocks that were keeping our hearts from going deeper. Things in our hearts. After I shared that message the way God led it, one of the ladies and a leader in the church called me the next day, says, I'm not coming back. I said, why? He said, you stood up in that pulpit and you took something somebody said to you about me and you openly went to the pulpit and talked about it. That's how to the point God was. I had to meet at McDonald's, bought a nice meal, knelt down and told her, listen, I don't even know what you're talking about. We went through enough conviction for her to say, I don't know if I believe you, but I'll believe you. Because God was direct. So, I want to look at you now. Because the things we're about to hear, if I'm looking there, doesn't mean that. Because I can be sharing, you'll be thinking, why is he? Is he looking at me because somebody said something or this? So I'm looking at you now. 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 I don't want somebody to go out and say, the message was because of what I did. I'm just going to obey the Lord. Amen. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4. Kendo broske randi mansa. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bore his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in a process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord has respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. That is, he didn't receive it. God didn't receive it. And Cain was very angry. He had an angry spirit. And his countenance fell. Won't go into this. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall his desire be. And thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8. And Cain, listen, talked with Abel. It wasn't a good talk. His brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed. Let's stop there. Because of where we're going, the first question I want to ask you. There is nothing more powerful than blood, brothers or sisters. When you got born into a family, it's one of the greatest human born God has ever made. And these are the only two brothers that were born to the only two people that God created. So this is like, it's like having twin. You know how twin, they love each other. But Cain and Abel were brothers. This one was a farmer. This one was a shepherd. And God requires animals for sacrifice, for offering. So what will happen, what will activate a situation in the life of the only two brothers that will make somebody that is your blood, that loves you with all his heart, turns around and kills you? Parents didn't do anything, nothing. What is a man that provokes that? That's one of the reasons we're born again. But if we don't deal with these things, it happens in marriage. It happens with parents and children. It happens with children and parents. It's happening all over the society. I'm not just talking about the secular world. It's in human nature. So what is this? So just for our time for what God wants to do. God wants to do a miracle this morning. He did it in my heart. And it's not a physical miracle. Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul. Says he will rather go into heaven without legs or eyes than to have those things and not make it. Basically, he's not saying there's nothing wrong with these visible miracles, but the greatest problem and the greatest manipulation of Satan is in this area that keeps us divided. Keeps us divided so he can manipulate and control us and we don't know it. People are not happy in their marriage. Trouble in homes. Father and children, children and father, mother. Just everywhere. Christ came with a solution. And we can't continue to live that way without accepting that solution. So, I want to share briefly. Let's move to the next slide. Really briefly, the one that says 21 sin. First, we want to look at the story I just read. The 8 sins of the anger of Cain. It's a checklist. Do you often in life, in church, wherever, at work, deal with enmity? Enmity means you just can't. You can't connect people. You just disconnect. The next slide. The one that says being of one accord. Cain was in enmity with his brother because something was stirred up. In himself, he did not know was there. He did not know was there until pressure came. And when pressure came, he became in enmity with his brother. Two, he fought. First, he fought internally. What is those internal fight? Ah, you chose my brother. My brother is going to be better than me now. My brother is this, my brother is that, my brother is this. Or this church is bigger than this church. This church is taking my members. Number three, jealousy. If you look on your right. I want you to notice the difference very soon. Jealousy is different from envy. That's why it's there. Jealousy is when you are insecure about your possession, about your status, about your calling, about whatever you are a manager. But you're insecure about that position. The moment somebody else comes, you're like, they're going to take my office. Jealousy is such fear. If you feel threatened, you're going to lose what you have. It happens to the poorest, it happens to the richest to show you it's a condition in human nature if it's not dealt with. It's just natural for the flesh and it's in the heart of man. If it's not dealt with, it will destroy you. Because it's the manifestation of insecurity. Let me give you an example. This man was made king, Saul. From nowhere. He was made king. The highest position in Israel. Suddenly, he hears somebody say, "So David has killed his thousands and saw his 1,000. Fear came. Ah! Very soon, they're esteeming him more. There are people that cannot handle you commending other people. Immediately something goes off. It's in us. We can't handle the success of another man. Especially brother, sister, we're supposed to rejoice with. So Abel is better than me. So Saul has this whole palace. They said this shepherd boy killed his 10,000 and this, that's the end of Saul. From that day, he became jealous. He opened the door for fear and the spirit of fear started running his life. There is the human part. If you don't deal with it, it opens the door for a spirit to torment you. And you see yourself going into the direction of Cain. This is my brother. I went from enmity. And then I went from there. I started competing. And then the next thing, jealousy came. And then when he got jealous, what happened? Anger. God said, Cain, why are you angry? If no problem, there's room for, just make your sacrifice and you're blessed. But what happened? Envy has gotten in. He convicted his brother. Envy, jealousy is when you are insecure, you are afraid of what you have, you don't want to lose it, and you kill anything that stands in the way. Envy is when you want what somebody else has that you don't have. Desperately that you're willing to kill the person to have it. It's killing relationships. Anger. Anger has levels. And some of them are used for manipulation. Some people can get so hot, angry. You will never be able to correct them again. Anger. It's used for manipulation. Grudges. Cain started holding grudge. Grudge is, you know you're offended. You know you're angry. Why not go to Abel and say, what did you do? How did you do it? And Abel will say, take my animals, sacrifice to the Lord. That's the command. You're my brother. But instead, this thing has stirred up already. So now he's seen Abel as an enemy. He's taking over my position. I'm the first son. He's better than me now. And then he goes to division. Envy. And then it goes to some things we're going to look at very quickly. Manipulation. He says, you remember that story? He talked with Abel. What are we saying? He set up Abel so that where they will go, he will kill Abel and bury, and nobody will find Abel. Only God found where Abel, because the boys cried. Adam and Eve, there's no way they'll find where Abel is. He tricked him to where he can kill him, bury him. Nobody but God saw. And God was the only one that said, Cain, you can't hide what you've done. Today's world, we don't kill with knife. We don't kill with gun. We don't kill in the farm. We kill with slander. We kill with gossip. We divide families. We divide brothers. We divide sisters. Because we are wounded. Let me show you something. Anybody has a glasses here? Thick glasses. I was going to... Thick, that is like... No, sunglasses. Sunglasses. Anybody has a sunglass? Thank you, Daisy. Good to see you. Sunglass. All right. Thank you, ma. Okay. So, this is what happens. Let me read the scripture first. Please open to Matthew chapter 7. Today, God wants to heal and set us free. And he wants to move. And everybody gets blessed. He wants to heal marriage. He wants to heal fathers, children. It's not just limited. Okay, Matthew 7. It's hard for me to find chapters when. Okay, listen to Matthew 7. I want you to hear this clearly. Okay? Matthew 7 says, judge not, that you will not be what? Judged. For with what judgment you meet, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So what does that mean? Jesus explained why we are not qualified to judge. That word judge not, judge means don't make conclusive decisions on people's life you don't know anything about. Don't conclude on somebody from just your vain imagination. Don't stereotype people and you create an image of those people and that's what you carry and you never, and that's what you believe. Judging is when you have made a conclusion, this is this, this is this, this is this, you've judged. He said, judge not. Why? We don't have the capacity to judge. Let me tell you why. We don't have the capacity to judge. I don't know how to use this. So this is what he explained. As humans, you all remember Cain? He's been wounded. Huh? Something is stirred up. Suddenly, a brother, hey bro, let's go eat. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Something stirs up in you. You are now seeing your brother as a threat. What are you seeing? Why are you seeing that? To the point you killed your brother. And you justify it. How did you get there? Let me show you. Judge not that you be not judged. It says, my beloved, verse 3. Why beholdest thou the mote? The mote. Mote means a sand, speck. Sand gets into your eyes or dust. Why do you behold the dust? The sound that is in thy brother's eye, but could not see the beam that is in thy own eye. Beam is a plank. That ghost story is a plank, wood. The beam that is thy own eye. Oh, or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thy eye. And behold, a beam is in thy own eye. What is Jesus saying? What is God saying? He's saying exactly what happened to Cain. That there is something in us. When we are wounded, we are hurt, we are betrayed, something happens to us, it distorts our soulish perception of people. It could become prejudice, it could be anything, but something has created in you the ability to see things from your woundedness, from your heart. So this is what he's saying. Cain, I'm wearing this glass. I want you to know this is a female glass. So I wear this. Amen. Okay. So when I wear this, it looks like a black man. Huh? So it's a black man. Huh? So I want to introduce him and talk about him. I'll come to Steve and say, I met a black man today. And I tell him about all this black man that I met. Huh? So that's what happens. So what Jesus is saying is, we have a lens that is a plank based on our selfish and also our place of woundedness. That we don't even, sometimes I remember I went to visit somebody one time. There was a car parked in the person's house. He has kind of a government tag. And immediately I just assumed, oh, government people are there, this, that. You know, I just made conclusion. Only to find out it was a rental car. You know, if you think about it, I'll be honest with you. I came to a point, I have made conclusions on assumptions so much that I chose and let me suffer than making assumptions. It's called vain imagination. We all have it. We all perceive, we all think things. And some of us don't know how to cast it down. We believe it about people, about this. So what happens when somebody is like Cain, is wounded? See, what you see is what you believe. And what you believe, you can convince anybody. So you take what Cain is saying. Cain, if other people were alive, Cain could have gone to somebody and say, Abel stole my this. Abel did this. Abel did that. Abel did this. All the things he said about Abel justifies why he has to kill Abel. And that's where it's coming from. And you that is listening completely now believes everything that you are seeing from this guy's lens. It's called slander. Jesus says, rejoice and be happy when men persecute you and speak falsely against you. Falsely. The greatest destruction we've done in family and in church is slander and gossip. Because we are hiding our wounds and we are taking it out on Cain, Abel. So, I just quickly wanted to share this before we finish this. Now, having read Matthew chapter 7, what do we do? How do we rescue ourselves from this? Because it's human nature. How do we free ourselves? How do we receive healing? How do we recover from this? Amen? One, let's look at ourselves, our lives. So, Abby, if you put, yes, being that. If you look at this picture very well, if you notice the first graph there, anytime there is division, the top one, anytime there's division, this is what everybody's trying to do. They were in one accord in one place. They have one mind, one vision, one purpose. But when you're ever trying to, two brothers or two sisters or churches are trying to work together, this church wants to outdo the other. This church wants to be this, be that. It's the same church. You know, Baptists. I see that within Baptists. I see, we all do that. We are trying to outdo each other. See, what happens? They start fighting. And they never achieve what the kingdom wants in that city. And then, see the question mark? They start talking. Communication is very important. Relationship building is key. And when that happens, two of them start working together. And that changes a lot. But why is it that we don't do it? For example, our brother Kenny, I've not met him, but I met Gary. They're having a tent meeting. We are going to cancel our Wednesday service just to go support that. We're going to be praying for it. We want to support it. Without expecting anything. See, 21 things, I'll go through that really quick and we'll finish. What I'm sharing with you will help our relationship a lot. With families and children to deal with this. If you see those 21 things, God gave me the privilege to work with pastors and leaders in our city for many, many years until we're national and global now. But when we're doing it in the city here, I came to a point, especially when we took it nationally, one time I was traveling, I said, God, why do I have to do this? Because I see some that don't want anything to do with this church don't want anything to do with that church. They don't want to work together. Everybody's successful. Everybody's doing well. Even pray together. Everybody's so. But after much, God started bringing everybody together. Pastor Larry, you know, you all hear the story, how God used him. And then we saw the God started blessing the city. When brethren do things together in unity. So these 21 things are some of just the little signs and manifestations that will show us in our heart or show us areas we need to surrender to the Lord. If some of these things are in us. Number one, prejudice. Have you been to a church where it's all black and you step in as a white person and everybody look back like that? Like this. Or you go to a church, it's all white. You step in as a black person. Everybody look like this. They look like this. They look like this. And they are talking to God. The way they look at you, you wouldn't even want the service to be over. You take your box. You're not wanted. And it's the church. Amen? Do you make decisions, kingdom decisions, based on somebody's rich, somebody's poor, somebody's short, somebody's tall, somebody's white, somebody's yellow? It's not kingdom. Does those things affect us? At your workplace, you're the manager, you're this. What kind of people do you hire? What kind of people are you working with? Are you threatened by other people trying to take your job? Are you threatened by your position in the church? What when you notice some things, these are signs. God is shining a sign. Surrender this area because it will cause problems. Condemnation is the same word that has to do with judging. When you conclude that this is a harlot woman and she's already repented, or you conclude this is this kind of person, this is this kind of person, you have concluded, you have passed judgment, you've condemned the person. We do that all the time. We make decisions with that. We run things with that. We build our corners, our cliques to protect our understanding. Criticism. You know, if you don't like something, there's what is called positive criticism. Positive. Walmart will tell you, if you go online now, they'll tell you, please send us what you think. The person that you just talked on the phone, rate this, read. They are asking you, we need your opinion on what, if our company is doing well or not. They are asking you for positive criticism. Say things, whether we're doing right or not, say. Amen? Positive criticism is not going behind Boma T and completely destroy his image. And say, she's not doing this, she's not doing this, she's not doing this. This is not working. There are processes you can pass, things that are not working, in a way it can be used in a unified, peaceful, and healthy way. In marriage. I'm married to Keziah, the most beautiful woman in the world. You know, you those Those that are married can say the same thing. Huh?
Amen.
There was a time she doesn't like to wear slippers in the house. And I didn't like it. So I criticized her. I said, wear slippers. But she will not wear. And finally God says, let her enjoy what she likes. She doesn't like to wear shoes in the house. Then, let her be. She loves it that way. Leave her. But I didn't like it. So I was trying to make life miserable for her. Until God dealt with me. Leave her alone. Something that simple. We take our insecurities, things we don't like, we project it to criticize others. In other words, let me stop what you're doing so I can feel better. That's not positive criticism. Until Keziah fell on the staircase, he started wearing slippers. Amen. Incompetence. Incompetence. Do you always disqualify yourself? Do you disqualify people based on what you have already premeditated? They are incompetent. Based on how they look, based on this, based on that, you just conclude they are incompetent without giving them an opportunity to try. Amen? Our children in church, if we were to go with everybody being competent, some of us will never qualify for anything. Do you make people be qualified before you help them, or you qualify the one you're trying to help? Individualism. There are people, that's why I repented. Individualism and not teamwork. They cannot work with a team. They will take over. They will run you down. They will run. I did that in a lot of projects. I'll take some because I wanted to do a certain way. I wanted to do this. You know, I just wanted. But God was teaching me patience. Work with people. You know, give people room. Do this, do that. Individualism. Do we live that way? And then, of course, you see the 21 thing there. We can read it from that screen there. The other thing in the 21 the list there is individualism, egocentric. All these are big words, huh? But just nutshell, egocentric means if things don't revolve around me, it's not going to work. There are people who's like, without me, you can't get it done. And they want to make sure everything revolves around them. Amen? In other words, you have to praise me, you have to do. It's, if you're trying to lift somebody else up or do something else, egocentric people get offended. It has to be about me. This is a manifest self. But these are just signs I'm sharing with you. Disqualification, we said that. Disqualification. Disqualify people even before you talk to them. You completely disqualify a lady. We are going from Cleveland to Atlanta to meet some Nigerian delegates that were coming from the government. They've told these people about me, and they wanted to meet me because they are from Nigeria. So this lady, we all went with a bus. We got to Atlanta, got to this fancy hotel. But some people got there before us because we took a bus. So some people got there before us. As soon as we got to the hotel, and the people were to receive us, The person that was waiting, we've talked on the phone, gotten excited. By the time the person saw me, the person walked the other way. So is this the same person? He walked the other way. Because somebody has put me this way and put themselves that way. Disqualified me completely. That was years ago. Phariseeism. They killed Jesus. Arrogance. You all know what arrogance is. You walk like this. You know, appearance doesn't tell you that somebody's arrogant. You can be quiet, you can be. But arrogance is you cannot listen to anybody else. You can't take correction. You can't. You intimidate people not to even come close enough to ask you, are you wrong or are you right? Such people fall so badly before they realize it. And some, it's, all this is under pride. It's this. Rebellion. Hypocrisy. Fear is the biggest one. Fear means intimidation. God has not given us the spirit of insecurity. Insecurity. That insecurity is the key for most of these things we're talking about. We all deal with insecurity. But that's why God is giving us a heart after Him. And we are His children. Amen? Your flesh can feel insecure, but you remember who you are. And it changes everything. Saul was so insecure because of fear. Lack of mutual trust. I'm going fast because if we cover the details of this. Lack of mutual trust. We don't trust each other. Strategic lies. Won't tell you. I'm not coming to that meeting. To that pastor's meeting because you didn't put me on the program. You didn't put me to speak. You didn't put me to pray. I just say, I have an appointment with the doctor. I have an appointment somewhere else. There are people, if they are not put on a program or involved in something, they just don't feel like they need to be there. I experienced that a lot when we're trying to bring the pastors together. So to get pastors or get leaders to do something, we have to provide lunch and put everybody on the program. Everybody wants to be on the program. And if they are not there, I'm going to go. I have plans to see my children. Strategic lies. Because our hearts are not right. Indifference. We don't care as long as it's not happening to us. About other people. Manipulation. Secret anger. We're covering it up. Lack of forgiveness. When we get to that stage, it leads to roots of bitterness. And that's a dangerous place God doesn't want anybody to get. Root means you can never release people from your life anymore. Every day, every season of your life, that person is a stumbling block in your life. And of course, we are doing signs and wonders. But our emotions and our character are in bondage. So, this is what happened. God is about to move. God is about to do a breakthrough. I don't want to go into details. When I stepped out, when this my brother was sharing this message, I said, it's me. And God showed me what to do. and God healed, cleansed it. The next few days, God started opening doors and establishing the reason why I traveled to Latin America. Every purpose I went there for, one after the other, came in alignment. God started fulfilling this. Sometimes Jesus will hear some people say, don't sin again. It's not sexual sin. Some of them were carrying all kinds of things. Go and sin not again. The man with this with that. So I want to ask you. A miracle is about to take place here. It will change your life forever. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sin will never prosper. You can't go very far. But he that confesses and forsakes them finds mercy. Repentance is the most powerful gift God has given to man. Today, God wants to take us to a new level of oneness. In one place, but we are in one accord. I don't want to come to church. I'm smiling at him, but your heart is far from me. We are flesh. We can offend each other, but forgive me, and we move on. Amen? There is. So, I don't know what you're wearing. I don't know, but you've heard this. So this is a bold thing we're going to do. But only lions are bold, isn't it? So if you're here today, and you say one of these 21 things, the 21 is something you don't like to confess. Secret. It's 21 things. Then the 8 with Cain says it's a whole lot. No, it's one really. But these are symptoms, signs. Doctors, check your heart. See signs before you have a heart attack. These things cause spiritual heart attack. Many people are not healthy spiritually. They can't carry relationships. And that's what God wants to heal. If you go back and your wife comes and say, what happened to my husband in church today? You know, something changed. If you want to come up and say, this is not, I did this. That's why you don't have to come up at all. But if you want to come here, we're going to do this quick, and openly say, number 2, number 3, egotism or egocentric, rebellion, arrogance, whatever it is, jealousy, anger, grudges, division, envy, enmity. You come up here, tell us the one, and before God, before man, repent of it. You know why this is important? Your life. When I left, something happened to me. So just come out. Open confession. There's no time for gospel where we are pretending if we want deliverance. Marian, quick confession. Confess.
Well, my husband and I were having, we got an upset between us. And it really upset me a whole lot. And he was in his recliner, and I was sitting behind him, very distressed in my body, because if I'm not right with my husband, I'm not right with God. And I was sitting there, and I said, Lord, show me my part in this. Show me. I mean, I didn't see anything, but I was quiet, and I was seeking the Lord, and he began to show me some things that were in my heart, like pride, like there was a beam in my eye, but I was focused on the speck in my husband's eye, and he showed me that I was still dealing with control issues, and I think there were some other things, but I'm just real thankful because I want to change. I just said, Lord, search me. Search my heart.
Amen. Just continue to pray. You can, you know, you can stay on the altar and keep praying. Okay. Confess and pray and then stay there. Just.
Mine is anger. It could be there and I pretend it's not there, but it's there. It's roosting inside of me. And I could be laughing or smiling, but right inside, I am bitter. God help me.
Amen. You will see a miracle after this. So kababashitababus.
Well, I can say that I'm guilty of 2 through 20. Every bit of it. Every day.
Yes, you can pray with Lokoyababus. Jesus.
Number 11. Hypocrisy. Sometimes I feel like such a fake. And I'm just not who I want people to believe I am.
Mine is 1 to all the way 20. That's all. But I'm going to ask publicly, ask my kids, please forgive me and pray for me.
Praise the Lord. I can say all of the above, but I'm still rebellious. So many things has happened to me that only God was helping me, especially in the death of my husband. Since my life, I've never lived alone. Even when I was growing up, even when I was working, I always have friends that we live close. When my husband died, I almost died myself because I didn't know what to do. But I was holding on because my children were surrounding me. We were living in our big house and everything. But since I came living by myself, sometimes I rebelled so much that I had to be crying to God to forgive me. So, but thank God, God has healed me a lot. But I want to tell you, it was in my life. And I thank God. And I repent of it. And the Lord has helped me a lot.
Just you and the Lord, just pray and surrender. Yes.
Mine is lack of forgiveness. And it's towards just one person in particular. And I just like to just lay that at the altar.
Mine is anger and lack of forgiveness because of the hurt that I have and so many fears that keeps me not trusting God completely. And I ask God to forgive me.
Amen.
Everything. But the center of it all is unforgiving spirit. Letting go the past. The past hurt. And not allowing God to heal my spirit. And I like to say sorry. I never say sorry because I always claim I am right. Because that person hurt me and then I won't forgive and I cannot say sorry. May the Lord forgive me and heal me. and give me the ability and grace to let go the past hurt even now and allow God to process His will in me.
Mine is fear and lack of forgiveness. The fear is the root of rejection, of past hurts, especially on my family side, and wanting the Lord to help me to forgive the people that have hurt me, that have rejected me. And I've held it in for so long.
Mine is self-condemnation and fear. I condemn myself a lot of time. And while you were preaching and saying that, and I feel like the Holy Spirit touched my heart and said, why do you condemn yourself when I forgive you? And and fear, not trusting God completely. Even if I say that I do, but my heart's still holding on, I don't know. But yeah, I pray that the Lord forgive me.
Amen.
Amen. I would say mine is anger. I have been so hurt, so attacked. You wouldn't know the depth of it. From very, very, very close people. It's been so deep. You won't understand it. I myself can't believe that these things can happen. And it keeps playing in my head. Especially because it's not something that was in the past. It's there. And I get so hurt and so angry. I ask God to forgive me.
Mine is fear and doubt. God should forgive me for this and take out my fear.
Amen. Just surrender it to the Lord on the altar. What you're witnessing here today is God is uprooting things. You will see a miracle, a refreshing from heaven in the lives of this choir.
When we came this morning, Pastor Obi was so kind to try to talk to my husband about his retirement and trying to invite him to the 7 o'clock service for prayer. And I know this seems so little, but then I intercepted the conversation. And sometimes God doesn't want the woman to intercept the conversation. So I want to apologize to my pastor for doing that. And sometimes if you're raised in the church so much, you can think you're so righteous and you think you know it and you don't know. And so I just want to confess that I've intercepted and I should not have. And I want you to know that I support you as a man of God and as a pastor for me and Everett and all the pastors in here, that we accept your leadership. Amen. And sometimes the leader may be trying to say something and the little sheep thinks they know better. And if we would just get quiet and let the Holy Spirit lead our leaders, then God would move. And I just wanted to confess that to you. I was going to say it privately to you when we ate, but I thought, well, this may be the opportunity to say that. And I accept your leadership. I honor you and appreciate you. And I ask that you forgive me for intercepting that conversation.
Anytime.
Lack of trust, fear, unforgiveness. Forgive me, Father.
Just settle it with the Lord in the altar. Yes.
Father's able to put the spotlight on you today. I felt the spotlight. Felt the spotlight in the area of arrogance, disqualification of others.
My God.
individualism. I've struggled with it, I think, in my life. Where you just feel like there ain't nobody who can do it better than you. Lord, forgive me. And the fact that the Father's willing to shine His light on that in my life, I'm willing to repent. I say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for more, Father. I want to see the best in people. I want to see the gifts and the callings of God. And I want to help foster that. Amen. Lord, I repent for the times that I've missed it. Thank you for your mercy, Daddy. Thank you, Father.
Criticism, especially of my husband, and I ask Steve to forgive me for that.
Mine is lack of forgiveness and the root of bitterness, because I've been hurt for so long and it's been hard to release it, as well as fear and where I was controlled. I have manipulated others not meaning to, and I just ask God to forgive me of that.
I have a sense of fear because the way I was raised, my dad put a lot of fear in me to where I'm just fearful of people, because I've been offended down through the years of my life. So I try to just stay separate, keep to myself, because a lot of things have happened mentally, physically, and emotionally with me, and it brought about a lot of fear and tension. So I'm asking for forgiveness toward my father, that I forgive him for the things that he has put me through as a child growing up, and my siblings before and after me. I forgive my father. And my mother, she was so humble. But I have fear and I'm working toward it. And I'm asking God to help me with that.
The presence of the Lord is here.
I want to
receive your healing.
I'm sorry, Pastor. I want to say mine is disqualification and fear, and not disqualifying others but myself. I feel like the things that I have done in the past, even though I have repented and repented daily and over, that they still come forward. And I feel unqualified to even serve. Sometimes I make up those tells that I don't want to lead the prayer. I don't want to do this because I know I'm not worth. I know I don't qualify. I feel like I'm not being used. I don't know what is wrong, but I do know that I love the Lord and I fear God, and I fear that I'm not doing and I'm not saying. I'm fearful of my children, what my children are doing, what's going to happen. I just need the disqualification of myself and the fear to just leave me, so that I can continue to go forward in Christ and do what it is that He's calling me to do, and not be ashamed and not be scared of what it is and the ways that He is trying to take me.
Yes, Lord. Jesus. In you days come.
I have fear against my family. I haven't heard from neither one of them. And I hurt so bad I can't even forgive myself.
So Father, we thank you. We come to you. We come to you.
Matthew.
Oh, we come to you.
Matthew 15:8 says that these people draw near we come to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. I'm guilty of that at times. So I ask the Lord to forgive him for being a hypocrite. And help me to be faithful in all that I do.
Your heart is free. Your mind is free. Give it all to him. We come to him. Oh, we come to you, Jesus. We come to you. 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 We've come to you. A new day has come for you. A new day has come. A new day has come. A new day has come. The healing waters, the healing presence, the healing hands of the Lord is on you because you came. The healing waters flowing now, the healing hands. The healing waters of the Lord is upon you. The anointing of the Lord is to heal the brokenhearted. The anointing of the Lord to heal your broken hearts. When you leave this place, you'll never be the same. Because the river of healing is flowing through. You leave this place, just know the Lord has been here. You are not going back, just the way you came. Oh Lord, we give you praise. All the glory belongs to you. Father, we give you praise. All the glory belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Even though you didn't come to this altar where you are sitting, the Lord has touched you. He knows where you are. Ore bareka basebrele krolo mantre boshera bos krilande brolake krolo mosa celebrale sonda kuis. Come to you, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. You are going to have a testimony because something has cleared up and something is coming in. And because of your obedience and your willingness, God is going to open a door, and some things you are expecting, breakthroughs, are on the way. I had major testimonies after I laid all these things on the altar. I don't want any of those things in my heart. So, Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you. We honor you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. It's been an unusual day. We just want God to have his way. Amen. Your testimonies will tell about this day. A lot of statements have already been made in regards to the 10th. It's from the 5th to the 1st to the 5th at the Dear Larry Paul Hoff. So please try to support that, be part of that. Wednesday, there won't be any Bread of Life because we all want to be there. But we'll be here also, those that are leading prayer, praying for that. Kenny is the one doing the tent. Okay, and Gary is leading. Thank you.